This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Right, we're here at the courtyard, pre-match versus Swindon Town. We're going to get some pre-match predictions from those that want to give them. We've got myself, Dan and Waggy, maybe Martin and Pete, but they don't come often, so they might not have an opinion. Dan, what do you reckon?
I reckon we'll win today, maybe 2-1. I think we'll concede.
Okay.
2-0 or 3-0, like I said on the podcast.
You do remember last time you said that it was Harrogate and we drew 1-1, don't you?
No, because I wasn't here for the Harrogate game.
Oh, was you not?
No.
Oh, did you not do that? Okay, right. Well, I take that back. Pete, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it'll be 3-1.
3-1?
2-0.
Martin?
2-0.
Martin thinks 2-0. Excellent.
Hello and welcome to another Courtyard Club Call with me, Russ Johnson. I'm joined as ever by Dan and Waggy to discuss the 0-0 draw against Swindon Town. You okay, boys?
Yeah, not too bad.
Oh, that was in stereo. I like it. Obviously, another 0-0, another game where we failed to score. Let's take you through the lineup first then. So, Hinchliffe in net, as always. Back three, I think, of Cass, Horsfall, Byrne, Torre left wing back, Hippolyte sort of right wing back. We'll talk about the shape and in and out of possession shortly. Lemon, Hay, Evans, Sars, Powell, and then up front you got Madden and Alafi. It felt like it was a 5-3-2. And I'll quickly just go through the first half stats just to get a sense of where we are. So 68% possession in the first half. 0.59 expected goals, 8 shots, 2 on target, 2 big chances, loads of more passes than Swindon, loads more possession as you'd expect. Game momentum was all in our favour. How did we not score in that first half?
I think it's as if we've gone the opposite to where we were playing before the two defeats. We're trying for a clean sheet. That seems to be the big thing, and then we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, it would say we battered them, didn't we? First half and second half, I think we were well on top and just needed to be a bit more clinical again. Just doesn't quite seem to be dropping. Because I don't think their keeper had an amazing game as such. It just seemed that every shot was at him. I didn't think there was any real, certainly the first half, any real first-class, world-class saves from him. I think pretty much everything was at him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the pressure is the word pressure. I think the pressure is starting to tell on the players. Players starting to snatch at things or over egg it, and you know, shots and headers where it just needed to be a little bit more clinical. And like I said, he snatched at it, and you know, plenty of chances across the team, not just you know, with the front two, but all across the team, that you know, there was plenty of chances to score, and yeah, your glass is half full or it's half empty with this one.
Yeah. It's a funny old game, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's been documented on this podcast quite a lot about cliches, but there's a reason for that, isn't there? I mean, you know, you talk about quality of chances, the expected goals, that's what that stat is there for. 0.59 over 8 total shots. So you're right. I think, you know, they're just not quality shots. We're not getting quality chances. We might be applying loads of pressure, as you say. But when it comes to that final third, and it's been the same for a few matches now, defensively, we seem to be sorted now, don't we? We seem to have sort of steadied the boat in that respect. 2 clean sheets on the bounce. But going forward seems to be an issue.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you say, the lineup was obviously a surprise that Crowsdale wasn't there. But obviously, he mentioned that he's had a hernia operation. So, and I think we've mentioned it for the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's not looked 100%, as he's not looked at his normal self. So maybe he has been playing through an injury for him not to play. I think, yeah, I don't know. I think loads of people have said it as well. I think we play better when we're a back four. And I think when we changed at half-time with Pai coming back on, which we'll talk about obviously in the second half, but brilliant having him back. It just looked much more comfortable at the back. And then that freed up us going forward again. And I think Powell was sort of, he was there doing Crowsdale's role, really, to me. He looked like he was always the deepest. And there's a lot of people that have slagged him off saying he's rubbish and everything like that, but he was there to do a job for the team. He was there to break things up and start trying to get the passes out, wasn't he? That's the way I looked at it. I don't think he had a bad performance. Again, you could see some of the vision of his passing and stuff, and people just, they either hesitated or they didn't go. And you could see the quality of the pass was there. It was just that they look bad because there was nobody actually getting on the end of them. But if you actually look at the pass and the vision, and you see 2 seconds before he plays the ball, or a second before he plays the pass, you could see that somebody was starting to go into the channel or to wherever he was trying to ping it. And then suddenly they'd stop or, you know, something. So it looked very wasteful in the end.
It's a bit of a weird one with Powell, the mystery of Powell, because if you look at his stats of the team, he's got one of the best successful tackle ratio out of the whole squad. So, you know, and he's, like say, he likes to play the ball, but he needs players to move around him. I think he needs options. He needs people to be moving around, and we're a bit very much static. The bit that did drive me up the wall, I must admit, with the Swindon game, was there was too many times where he would collect the ball off the back three, particularly Byrne, give it back to someone like Byrne, and then Byrne would make the 40-yard right diagonal pass straight into touch. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why isn't Powell making that pass? Powell has got more quality than any of them three in the back three to make them passes. And it was, that was a bit frustrating for me, because, like you say, even though he didn't have a bad game, and like you say, probably one of the highest scoring ratings of both teams on Saturday, he just wasn't, we didn't get the best out of him. Mm-hmm. We know he's better, even though he didn't have a bad game, we know there's more out of him, which was the sort of frustrating bit with Powell. But, you know, if that's what it is, I mean, you know, he's going to have runners in front of him for me always.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to Torre then. I don't want to, you know, we're not in the business of digging out players. And Challoner did mention it in his post-match as well, that for whatever reason, a very good player in Torre is not playing to his own, you know, the best of his ability. I think we're seeing that, aren't we? And it doesn't help that the crowd get on his case, but you can see why they do. Because
with Torre, there's a written test and a Uri test. You look at the stats on Torre, the stats don't lie, that he's up there in the county squad, in the league, he's up there with chances created, assists, tackles, you know, he's up there. If you look at just the paper, unfortunately, where the eye test is where we get frustrated with, because we can see is it what a frustration of we know he's better than what he's actually doing on the pitch, or is he that's his level? I think he's better than what he's actually shown at times on there. I know it's hard, obviously, with Byrne being a right-footed player playing on the left-hand side. And like I said, we'll get into that into the second half, but it slowed it down. And, you know, with the ball going to Byrne, I thought Toure, when obviously he had Bailey and Barry, and they could make triangles, when we play in triangles across the pitch and, you know, partnerships, that's when we look our best. And when players like Toure is isolated and not getting the ball, then I think, you know, he struggles and he will become a whipping boy for the fans to sort of get on his back. And the pressure, same again, the word pressure, I think he's one who's really struggling at the moment with form and pressure and expectation and stuff like that. You know, the Gillingham game on Tuesday, I thought he was probably one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he comes to a Saturday in a home game and he looked like he didn't want the ball, couldn't kick the ball, didn't know where the line was. Were out of bounds. He just looked a completely different player in the matter of 5 days.
Yeah.
I think, as you say, Chandler mentioned it, didn't he? There wasn't the pressure, wasn't the same pressure at Gillingham of the home crowd getting on his back. And I think as soon as he makes one mistake, the crowd jump on him. And as you say, I don't think we've seen the best of him. And again, Chandler said that him playing out of position when he was trying to play him as the left centre-back, that's down to Chandler. Because he believes that Toure can play that position. And if Torre's not comfortable playing there, then, you know, that's Chandler's, that's on Chandler's shoulders, not Toure's shoulders. And I think, I think he's very low on confidence. And I think he's starting to hear like the boo boys and that, isn't he? So I think, as you say, he didn't want the ball. And as soon as he got the ball, he wanted to get rid of it as quickly as possible so that it wasn't on his back. But then he just didn't seem to be making simple passes.
He was on BBC Radio Manchester during the week and he even said himself there he's not performed to the level he wants to perform at or he expects himself to be at. And so he's obviously aware of the situation on the comments that's probably been made on social media because Chandler has mentioned social media in his interviews. And it's obviously, it's niggling at him. It's one of them players that when he gets the ball, you just want him to see him drive on. You want him to have a shot. You want him to take on the player in front of him. And we know he's got that capability in it. It's one of them ones. The fans are going to drag him along with that belief, or he's going to do it himself and get everybody behind him. But we need him. We need him to be, you know, that player that why we signed him.
Yeah. Yeah, and the player, I mean, away at MK Dons, he was brilliant. I think we have seen what he's capable of, but it's just not happening for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that African Cup of Nations actually, that opportunity has actually done more harm to him than actually good? Because obviously he played the first game and then he didn't get a look in for the other games. And since then, like I say, Gillingham, I thought he actually had a solid game, Gillingham, but it seems like one step forward, two steps back.
Mm. Indeed. Okay, moving on then. So that was the first half. Half-time, couple of changes. Ethan Bristow and Ethan Pye came on for Byrne and Toure, respectively. That's when we went back to the back four. And if the first half told you a story of dominance, then the second half... the stats say it was even more so. 69% possession in the second half, 1.64 expected goals, 12 shots, 6 on target, 3 big chances, way more passes again in terms of accuracy as well. Just couldn't break them down. This is where their keeper, I think, came into his own. He made a couple of good saves and, in fact, got man of the match, according to FotMob.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, if you look at that momentum chart, it looks like a New York skyline.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, and you, like you say, how has that been a 0-0? They've, you know, don't get me wrong, that point for Swindon is a massive point for them. And they've dug in. You know, they're always going to have chances as a threat with Charlie Austin on the pitch. But like you say, we just missed that clinic. You know, and it's one of them games as well. I thought if we score in the first 20 minutes and get into them, this could be 3-4 nil. Mm. Yeah, you know, it was one of them games where we just needed that one goal, and it didn't have to be a wonder goal. For me, I'll take something coming off Sarcevic's arse at the moment, to be honest. So yeah, like I say, the momentum, and we kept on going, and to the 90th minute, and to the end of nearly getting it. Don't get me wrong, Hinchcliffe, as always, has had to pull out a save or two, which is, you know, that's what he does. You know, he doesn't do much during games. People will moan about his kicking, but I'll take his kicking all day for his shot saving. You know, and like you say, you look at the stats and it should be 3-0 to us. But like you say, it's one of them ones from the recent games that we've played. Is it glass half full or glass half empty? You know, we've kept a clean sheet. We looked quite solid at the back regardless. We played some good football at times, just not found that killer edge. Or do you go the other way of, you know, it's another game where we've not won. You know, and it's what now, 4-5 games now without a win. Only one win during the month of February. You know, and same again, we've not scored a goal again. But it's that third game on the trot now without scoring.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed it is. Three games without scoring. And I think I totally agree with you. I'd take any goal at this moment in time. A lot of talk in the week of a decent point away at Gillingham, because they're not bad. You know, they're either in the playoffs or just outside it. They're thereabouts. Yeah.
Well, they'd be that team with no name that we shall not mention.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, on Saturday as well. So, it's one of them ones. The table, like we've discussed before, it's absolutely balmy. You know, you've got teams like Harrogate that hold us out for a draw, and then they go and lose to Mansfield, and then they go and win or get lose to Mansfield 9-2, and then go to Crewe and get a 0-0. You know, so anyone can beat anyone still in this table. And that showed it, because I thought Gillingham were very, very poor. I mean, they didn't look like they wanted to come and play football. They just wanted to get a point. They, like you say, they looked like the away team on Tuesday night, Gillingham, and then they go and beat Wrexham.
I totally take on board that. Where I was heading with that was that it looks a good point if you follow it up with a win against, you know, on the Saturday, and all of a sudden it doesn't look like a good point now, because we didn't follow it up with a win. Okay, we played okay. I think even to the eye, you know, take all the stats away, you know, we're on top of Swindon for pretty much 90 minutes, weren't we? We just couldn't break them down, and by all accounts, their keeper had, I won't say the game of his life, but he played pretty well. And just going back to the stats and linking that in, 7 of our players got above 7 in the ratings. Only 3 of theirs did, and 2 were defenders, and 1 was the keeper. So it just tell you a story of how the game went. People will say, well, it wasn't a good point against Gillingham because we didn't follow it up with a win, but we followed it up with something. We did everything but win, I suppose, is where I'm going with it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, their goalkeeper, if you look at the stats, he's expected to concede 2.1 goals a game, I think it is. Mm. You know, so like you say, for him then to keep a clean sheet is like when he's, you know, concedes goals left, right and centre. You know, like you say, he's had a game of his life, to be honest. Like you said, you can find the negatives if you want to find negatives. There's negatives there if you want them. There's also positives. And, you know, for me, like I said, I've always said, I think 86 points gets us promotion. That's 23 points we need out of the remaining 12 games. 7 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses. You know, if you said at the start of the season, after 3-4 games, that we'll be joint top on goal difference. And what was it, 4 points clear of in the automatics. Every County fan would have snapped your hand off for that. You know, it's going to be nervy. It's going to be exciting running. We've got some big games, but we can rather believe that we've tossed it away and chucked it all away, or, you know, believe that we've got 12 games and the destiny's in our own hands.
Yeah, I'm not sure many people think we've thrown it away. I don't know about you, Waggy. What's your
no? We've not thrown it. Is some of the bedwetters out again? Isn't there? Saying yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, we've thrown it away. It's like relegated. I mean, yeah, we're what? We're something like, are we 15th in the form table for the last six games? Which, yeah, that's not championship winning side, but it's
done over a season.
We're having a bit of a
season, not last six games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but as I say, so it's just a case of, I think, as we were saying, if we get one goal, I think we'll get three or four.
Yeah.
I think that's what, just get that one chance goes in, and I think that'll just lift everybody, and then we'll, I say, it's very close. It's a weird season the way it's gone. We were, you know, clear by a few points, decent goal difference and everything like that. But as I say, top three, that's all we're after. If we win the league, that's an absolute bonus. But I mean, looking, there's still going to be twists and turns because MK Dons have still got to play Crewe. They've got to play Mansfield. They've also got, obviously, us. They've got Notts as well. So, you know, these, all the top six, apart from us, I think we've got MK Dons, Notts County and Wrexham in the next 12. And we've got MK Dons at home. So the running on paper looks a bit easier for us. But I think, as you say, it's just a blip. We get the confidence back. We score, like I say, a goal off Sarsi's arse, and I think that'll be it. It'll be gate open, and we'll start putting them in again. So,
well, that's it. Yeah, that's kind of my feeling as well. So for me, the Gillingham game stopped the boat rocking. We were listing against Tranmere. You know what I mean? Gillingham game stopped the boat rocking. Saturday's game. We managed to not just stop the boat rocking, but we put the sails up a bit and got ourselves back into that, right, solid at the back, starting to create chances. Okay, not putting them away, and they're not quality chances, but we're starting to get there and get that feeling back.
See the difference in the team as well with Pai coming on.
Balance. Yeah, so exactly.
I mean, I didn't expect to see him for at least another 2 or 3 weeks.
Don't think he did either.
No, yeah, he didn't either. Yeah, in his post-match. But yeah, we looked better when he came on. We looked more solid and more comfortable at the back. Going to a back four gives us that bit of an extra person, doesn't it? The creative, like we've said, you know, many times throughout the season. But as you say, yeah, I think it is just a case of someone's going to get a tonking, and hopefully it'll be Colchester, and then that'll be, you know, everybody will be happy again and start smiling instead of, you know, fighting for relegation.
Yeah, I didn't see that comment. I think if we can get back to winning ways sooner rather than later, I think it will probably go on some sort of run then.
I can
definitely see that happening. A bit of a word on, I mean, Ethan Pye, we just mentioned that. I think he had a solid game throughout that second half. He looked, I wouldn't say back to his best, but he obviously needs minutes. Probably weren't expected to get 45, but I think it's all minutes in the tank for him. Wotton and Bailey, much of an impact?
No. I don't know what... Again, I think Wotton just seems a bit off, doesn't he? Of late, it doesn't seem to be sticking, and all it seems to be is him giving free kicks away. And we know the referees, he must be in the referee's little black book that they shared. They must have a spreadsheet of players that they're going to give free kicks against, because it just seems every single time. Because he came on and there was the one where he jumped up just at the edge of the 6-yard box, on the side of the 6-yard box, to head it, and the defender went underneath him and he went over the defender and they both went to the floor and the defender got a free kick.
Yeah.
It's like, how is that a free kick against Wotton? That should have been given to Wotton. But yeah, we don't seem to be crossing it as much, do we? You know, he's a good header, but I'd have liked that Alafi chance to have fell to Wotton, and I think it'd have been nine times out of ten, he'd have put that on target, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that whole chance for me was the one.
Yeah,
the biggest opportunity, should we say, to score? I think. Where I look at it and it's just a complete free header. And like you say, if that drops to anyone else, I think that's it. I think Alafi, same again, he's a bit like Toure. I think Alafi's actually affected with his form and confidence as well. He keeps on working hard, but, you know, I don't think we're actually servicing them. We're not playing the right balls to them at times. We're over-egging it at times instead of just pass and move. Obviously, you know, there has been a big difference in switch in the way we play and how we get goals when Macca's been injured. If you look back from the games where we've lost Macca, that has changed dramatically on how we get goals and how we actually sort of play and get to the byline and cross balls in, where Cass is not that sort of player. Hippolyte, obviously going back to a back three, Hippolyte gives you that option of sort of trying to find him down the wing and crossing balls in. And I think he has been another benefit of coming back. It's a weird one. Because like I say, Powell had a header near the end as well, which, same again, you expect him really to sort of get it on target. I think Madden had a few chances as well. I think, you know, the chances were there. It's just at times I think we just over-egged it or just sort of grabbed at the chance a bit too much. Alafi's header as well, I think he sort of tried to put too much power into it instead of, all he had to do was just literally direct the ball. There was enough power in the cross and stuff like that where all he has to do is just literally direct it, and he's over-egged it and tried to, you know, power his header into the net and ended up getting underneath it and headering it over.
Yeah, and I can't think of anything that Bailey did. There was nothing that stood out for me from Bailey. I can't think of. He was on the pitch. You know, he's different because he played really well, didn't he, with Barry? Because they seem to be, you know, they'd swap sides, and I don't think he's quite got that with Lemonet Evans. But I don't think that Lemonet Evans is very good on the opposite side of the pitch.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've got the same interaction. I don't think Bailey didn't really. He came on. I don't think I can't remember anything that stands out from Bailey from when he came on.
Okay, and then a cameo from Rico Richards at the end. Again, I don't remember much.
I think there was a lot of people sort of near me. We were talking about this. Is if he's in the squad and you're going to bring him on, give him a bit of time because
yeah.
Yeah. 87 minutes. It's not. I think he probably touched the ball twice, maybe three times. It's just. So if he's there and he thinks he's good enough to sort of come on, or is it because, you know, it's his first loan, isn't it, from away from Aston Villa, playing in the proper men's game? So is it just bringing him in slowly? Because you tend to see that, don't you, with the Premier League clubs and stuff like that, where they just sort of bring them on for a few minutes at the end, and then they slowly build them up. So. But I'd like to see him get, you know, come on at 60 minutes or 65 minutes and get a real chance to see what he's about. Because I don't think anybody can say if he's a decent player or what type of player he is yet, because he's not been on the field long enough, has he?
Well, it's a B game, isn't there? Challen has mentioned there's a B game going on this midweek. So that'll be, like I say, another one where hopefully he'll get game time in. You know, like Ethan Pye, he'll get a bit more game time in his legs, for sure. So, yeah, I think the same thing. A lot of expectation. Oh, well, he's come from Villa and he's going to be like Louis Barry. I think we forget that Louis Barry is probably 2 years ahead of his development than what Rico is. You know, he's been out. This is Louis Barry's, fourth, fifth club he's been out on loan to. Where Rico, this is actually his first time ever out on loan. So my expectations of him is down. Obviously, the Crosdale announcement, that it's a bit, that's a, worries me, because you listen to the interview, then it's like Crosdale's decided to have the operation. So obviously the club felt that he shouldn't have the operation. And this is a decision that's been made by Crosdale. I would like to know personally, well, how long has Crosdale been carrying this injury for? Because if this was an injury that he's been carrying while the transfer window's been open, then, you know what I mean? It's like, well, okay, we knew this was going to happen. He's got a hernia. You know, it's going to need to have an operation on it sooner or later. We're lucky it's only maybe 3 weeks out, but, you know, wait and see. That's obviously, the news of that was obviously buried with the fact that we all heard that Barry had done, you know, some fast running training and been training with the Villa squad on the Saturday morning before he turned up at County. So, you know, that sort of bad news got buried with the hope of Barry's not as far away as what we think.
Don't forget as well, Dan, the news about Crosdale, say they hadn't known about it for a while, Camps and arguably Akil Wright, you know, whatever you think of him playing in that central defensive midfield role, is they were two other options, weren't they, to cover for Crosdale. So
I mean, like I say, we don't know the ins and outs, obviously, because they keep everything close to their chest. We don't know if they went for a player in that central midfield role and just didn't get him. I still think Pye could play that role, in all fairness. I think Pye's a Rolls-Royce player. I think he will be a playing top-level football in his career, because I think he's, you know, I rate him that highly, and I think he can play that holding midfield role, that Crosdale role, with his eyes closed, to be honest. But like you say, the balance of the team, having that left-sided, left-footed player, you could see from the first half to the second half how, where the ball was always getting held up and slowed down in extra touch. As soon as you bring Pye on, the ball is moving a lot quicker. We're moving it about a lot quicker. The tempo goes up, and it makes a big, big difference.
I think Sars could do a job there, because he did it earlier in the season, didn't he? Crosdale went off at half-time and Sars dropped back into that, into this defensive midfield role, and I think he played it really well. Yeah. So I mean, I think we've got options there. They're not Crosdale, but we've got options that can that can sit in there.
Yeah, I would go as far as
back as well soon this week.
Yeah, he's back soon. I'd go as far as to say as well that Powell could probably do a job there, like a quarterback role. I mean, he spends a lot of time back there anyway, doesn't he? So,
well, I think that's sort of what he was playing on Saturday, wasn't it? Seemed to be he was more of the defensive midfielder on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Conscious of time, moving on to man of the match. Their keeper got it on Fort Mob. I can't remember who got it in the ground, actually. I must admit. Horsefall, was it? Yeah, he was. I saw the picture, actually. And interestingly, on Fort Mob, Hinchliffe scored better than Horsefall, as did Powell, actually. Powell was our highest performing player.
And Hippo?
Hippo as well, 7.6. Yeah, so interesting that Horsefall got it from the sponsors. Do you agree with Horsefall, or are you going to choose another one?
I don't know. I don't think there was anybody that really, again, really stood out as head and shoulders above anybody else. So I'd go with Horsefall just because that's what they chose.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them ones. It's I know on Fort Mob, it's you get the points, but it is. Virtually, I thought everybody was seven. You would argue that Byrne and Torre were a six. I think they were behind them. I know Alafi got a 6.7, but I don't think he did much wrong. I think he was willing runner at times, just wasn't getting the service to him. So yeah, it's I'd like. I mean, if Pippa like played longer, I would go with him. I thought Sasevic at times was a little bit sloppy with the ball and lost it a few times. Nick Powell, a little bit more expected. Hinchcliffe pulled off some wonder saves. Yeah, it was a bit of a hard one, really. Yeah, I'd go with Horsfall because, like I said, he's not done anything wrong in the game not to take it off him, to be honest.
Fair dues. Fair dues.
Who do you think
of? I'd probably say the same. I'd probably go with Horsfall. It's one of these things where I'd probably say their keeper, in all honesty. I don't, you know, it doesn't have to be one of our players. So, you know, I know we do that every week. We say it's one of our players, but I mean, their keeper's kept him in it. Okay, you know, not great chances from us, but he's pulled off a couple of like proper good saves. So, yeah, I'd probably go with that. If I had to go with one for us, I'd probably go with Horsfall myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because he is steady, he's almost like no nonsense and steady at the same time, isn't he? He's no frills, is he? So probably go with that. And he did play well. Final word then on the ref. Anything to say about the ref? I personally couldn't remember anything that got me up in arms, but I am pretty relaxed about refs these days because they're all shit.
No, it's nice to see a ref complete a game, and it was nice to see a ref not have any issues with his technology for a change. Like I say, there was obviously frustration, but I think that's more because the scoreline opposed to what the referee's performance was. So, yeah, like you say, forgettable performance, which is what at times I want from a referee.
I think it was just a standard League Two refereeing performance. That's about as good as it gets. There wasn't anything alarming that I was like, oh, my God, what was that type of thing? Yeah. So just a steady crap.
No higher praise from Waggy there.
Correct.
Good stuff. Right, okay. That's the Courtyard Club Call for this week. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And thanks to everybody for subscribing as well. I met a couple of you on Saturday, which is pretty good. Said hello, which was, you know, always like to do that. So cheers for that. And yeah, we'll be back next week with the Courtyard Club Call after the Colchester match, where we're hopefully talking about a win. And we'll see you on Wednesday for I've Waited All Week for That. Cheers, gents.
Cheers. Thank you.
See you next time. Square.
the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.